Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is Season 7 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. Now, the Word of God is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now.
And now hear the proclamation. Our opening, or our Old Testament lesson, is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 4. If you're reading in your Bibles at home, Genesis is the first book of the Bible, in case you didn't know that. So if you open it up to the beginning, and you'll find chapter 1, verse 1, where we read, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, 'Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters.' So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, 'Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, 'Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth.' And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, 'Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky.' So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth.' And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, 'Let all the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind.' And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.' So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.' God said, 'See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our Psalter is Psalm 8. We're looking at Psalm 8 today. And I will be singing the first response, which is for Trinity Sunday.
Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouth of babes and infants. You have set up a defense against your foes to still the enemy and the avenger.
Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, and mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them little less than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our epistle lesson today is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13 and verses 11 through 13. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now our scripture lesson today from the Gospel according to St. Matthew is Matthew chapter 28. And beginning at verse 16 through the end of the book, let us hear the word of the Lord for us this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, open our hearts to receive your holy word this day. Fill us with your knowledge and wisdom by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. We have celebrated three consecutive Sundays with three different purposes. We celebrate the Ascension, when Jesus rose into heaven and was seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then last week we celebrated the Pentecost, when the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the church and when the church was born. This week we celebrate the Trinity, which is entirely a Christian doctrine. It's not a doctrine that's found in Jewish teaching or in Islamic teaching or any other teaching anywhere. But only in the Christian faith do we worship one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We understand the Trinity today because of the work of many, many theologians who have toiled over this doctrine for, 2,000 years. Ever since Christ walked the earth even, he began to introduce this doctrine to his disciples. We see that in the reading in Matthew today, when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We see God in three persons presented by Christ himself. We also see in the book of John, chapter 14, in the farewell discourse, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So here we see Jesus pointing to the coming of the Holy Spirit for his disciples. But he also mentions his relationship with the Father. In a little while, he says, "I will no longer be with you. The world cannot see me. I go to be with the Father." So here we see in this one passage, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, again spoken of by Jesus himself. But the idea of one God in three persons, or God as a unity, or God as a plurality, is not a new concept in the New Testament. We see echoes of it in the Old Testament as well. Genesis chapter 18, we see that God goes to visit Abraham. It says, "The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant.'" Notice he sees three men, but he calls the three of them Lord. Not lords, but Lord. "And they said, 'Do as you have said.'" God presents himself in multiple ways. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 16 says, "Draw near to me, hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. who leads you in the way you should go. God shows us himself in the Father. We see God existent among us in the Son, in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And God dwells in us through his Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, when we are baptized into the faith, we receive the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in us. And so on Trinity Sunday, even though this is it's a difficult doctrine to understand, and for any of you who have ever struggled with this, please understand that I struggle with it too. This is both my favorite Sunday to preach and my least favorite Sunday to preach. Why is that? Well, because while I'm putting together the message, I frequently find myself, first of all, I love the material that I have from the early church fathers and old theologians that have instructed me in my understanding of the doctrine of the Trinity. But also, there's so much wealth of information that I can very easily get lost in the weeds while preparing this message. This sermon could very easily be 6 or 7 hours long. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'm sure I can actually hear your eyes glazing over as I say that. But fear not, we're going to keep it to just 20 minutes. But we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament glimpses of God in three persons. We even see that in the book of Genesis, what we read today in the creation account, in the beginning. First of all, I want you to understand that in the beginning means before all things, before anything existed, before time began, in the beginning, God. Because God is eternal. Because God has existed for all time. God is not created. He is the uncreated one. He is self-existent. And all things came to be under his power. And so before there was anything, there was God. In the beginning, God. And what did God do? In the beginning, God created. That's who God is. God is a creator. God is the architect. And when we look at the majesty of creation, the wonder of the perfect harmony and balance of nature, all of the physical laws of the universe that hold us together and keep us from falling into each other, we're all set in motion by this creative God who spoke and the worlds were formed. God is a creator. It's the very first thing that we are told in the Bible about him. In the beginning, God created. He created the heavens and the earth. Everything that we can see and everything that we cannot see. Every molecule, every atom, every subatomic particle was created by this creative God. And so God, who is self-existent, who is eternal, has always existed, is also a creator and creative. He created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Now, the New Revised Standard Version says, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. That word wind is the word ruach, which is the breath of God or the spirit of God. Other translations render that word as the spirit of God hovering over the waters. And so we see God's spirit in the very second verse of our Holy Scripture. And then God later says, let us make humankind. Understand also that the word for God that is used here, the Hebrew word for God, is Elohim. And Elohim is a plural noun. It actually means gods, Elohim. And yet, this plural noun inexplicably takes a singular verb. If we were to read it exactly as the Hebrew says, it would be, in the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth, Elohim. And what does that mean? God is a plurality. It's not a foreign concept that God is a plurality. It's not a strictly Jewish or Christian construct. We see it in the Hebrew scriptures as well. When God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness," God was saying that there is more to God than just a single being, but rather that God is a plurality. We even see this in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, which in the English seems very clear, and says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Seems very clear if you read it in the English. But if you read it in the Hebrew, the word there for one is echad. What does echad mean? It doesn't mean individually one, uniquely one. What echad means is it's a unity. In fact, it's the same word that is used in chapter 2 when it says, "For this reason, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh." And that word one is echad, meaning a unity. As opposed to when we look at in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham is taking his son Isaac up to be sacrificed, God says to him, "Abraham, take your son, your one and only son, Isaac, whom you love." Now that means one, a unique one and only. That Hebrew word is yachid. Yachid meaning one and only one. But that's not how God describes himself. God describes himself as echad, a unity, a unity. In the 5th century, we see the development of a word that the Christians started to use in reference to God, a tri-unity or trinity. In fact, the word is trinitas in the Latin, which comes from two words, tri meaning three and unitas meaning a unity, a tri-unity. That's where we get our word, the Trinity. You'll often hear people argue that the word Trinity doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible, and that's true. But the idea of a Trinity and the concept of a Trinity permeates throughout the pages of Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New and beyond. Even in the first century, theologians such as Ignatius of Antioch were already referring to Christ as God and referring to the Holy Spirit as a personal being. And so we see that God is indeed three persons. Even Origen, one of the early church fathers, in the 3rd century writes this, "The God and Father who holds the universe together is superior to every being that exists. For he imparts to each from his own existence that which each one is. The Son," but notice he says here, "the Son then, being less than the Father, is superior to rational creatures alone, for he is second to the Father. The Holy Spirit is still less and dwells with the saints alone." They were, in this time, in the 3rd century, beginning to think of Jesus as being less than God. Not that he was not God. He was God, but less than God the Father. Like there was a sort of hierarchy in the Godhead. We see the doctrine of the Trinity in our ancient creeds, like the Nicene Creed from 325 AD, the 4th century. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. So already we're seeing that Christ is God. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. You see, from the very beginning, in our Christian faith, we have believed in this idea of a triune God. What we see today, or what we have come to understand, again, through 2,000 years of struggling and wrestling with this notion, is that all three persons of the Godhead are co-equal, co-eternal. They're each one omnipotent, omniscient. Every attribute of God is ascribed to each of the three persons of the Godhead. And so we see that there is a completeness in God, a tri-unity, and that is what we celebrate here on Trinity Sunday. Today we benefit from 2,000 years of Christian theologians struggling with the holy mystery of the Trinity. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We wrestle with these concepts even today. It's not a very easy doctrine to teach, nor is it a simple doctrine to understand. The best we can do is to think about God to the best of our ability, understanding that God the Father rules the universe as His creation, with Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior seated at His right hand, and dwelling in us by His Holy Spirit. On this Trinity Sunday, I invite you to think about your relationship with God in three persons, what He has done for you, and how we may worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this doctrine and for this teaching that has been handed down to us by many people who have struggled with this idea of God in three persons. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit dwells in us and with us. We thank You that Your church is drawn together by Your Spirit. We thank You that we are under the leadership of our head, our spiritual head, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sakes. We thank You, Lord, for Your creation, that You have made us in Your image. And we pray, Lord, that as image bearers of God, we will go forth into the world and be faithful in all that You have called us to do and to be. All this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you is that you have been blessed in its teaching, as I have been blessed putting this message together. God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. We are Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith communities in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. If you live in the area and you don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family, hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.